Welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis, the host of Planet Waves FM and the author of the Planet Waves Horoscope. Tonight's edition is for Tuesday, the 14th of December, 2021. Thank you for joining me. Before I get into the current and intriguing astrology, just a quick recap of the first of three Venus-Pluto conjunctions that took place over the weekend. I and some close to me experienced this as deeply introspective astrology. It is the kind of thing you would expect with Venus slowing down and getting ready to move in apparent reverse direction, so that getting ready to move in retrograde motion also means anticipating or engaging what you might think of as full introspection. Venus is at the moment within a 1 degree conjunction of Pluto, though it's in the next degree, so technically not partile. It's only 40 arc minutes away, so that's quite close. And this conjunction is still in full force and effect, particularly as Venus gets ready to station retrograde on the 19th of December. I've done a few different podcasts about that in case you are interested in learning more. Just go, you know, just listen to previous ones in reverse order. The quality of a conjunction to Pluto, of another smaller, quicker, more personal planet making a conjunction to Pluto that I have not described yet, is a regenerative experience. Pluto can be destructive. It can certainly push anything or anyone past what seem to be previous limits. It can, let's see what else it can do. It can expose and reveal things. It can come with a sensation of being emotionally vulnerable. It can boil things up out of the deepest depths of the unconscious and the, you know, the crevices of the psyche. Does all of those things, as can the retrograde, but this is a particularly powerful retrograde as it is happening all in a conjunction to Pluto. I was looking for an illustration for tonight's edition of Planet Waves, and when I typed in Capricorn goddess into Google to do an image search looking for classical imagery, I came up with Persephone. And this is the time of year here in the Northern Hemisphere where the god of the daughter of the god Demeter or Ceres is said to be living in Hades, having her liaison with Pluto, or with Hades or Pluto, the lord of the underworld. And this is the explanation for the seasons, right? In Greek mythology, you know, the daughter of the goddess of the earth goes down to the underground, and she has her love affair with Pluto, the lord of death. And so her mother is the lord of life, and bringer of all green things, and making the earth regenerate and all the stuff. But her lover is the lord of death, lord of the underworld, has different manifestations. And so we have Persephone bridging the space between the upper world and the lower world. And while technically Venus is not Persephone, it is certainly reminiscent here as the Northern Hemisphere goes into the deepest dark of winter, which we'll be doing for now one more week, and then the days start to get longer again, and that does make a difference. So Venus is, so Persephone now is in supposedly in the underworld, and because her mother is grieving, then it gets cold up here and the trees all lose their leaves and all of that stuff. So Venus is certainly doing a very good stand-in for this, and we might wonder what, you know, unusual bliss Persephone is capable of experiencing as she goes into the, you know, the underworld, and we think of as psychologically as the unconscious or the deeper part of the mind or this kind of thing, the things we don't normally acknowledge. And that certainly qualifies for Pluto, which largely operates as an unconscious process, wearing the cloak of invisibility. But Venus is having the full experience, and whatever Venus represents to us is also having the full experience. So whatever in your life seems to be dying or getting ready to in some way transform and regenerate, look for the connection to Venus. And this, of course, is a deeply sexual metaphor because Pluto has this, hot current of, relevant experiential emotional sexuality, and then Venus brings the human womanly emotional quality of that, and the whole thing is taking place in Capricorn. So there's kind of a violation of what we might think of as normal traditions, which is very tantric. The whole idea of tantra is to erode and evade the kinds of let's say psychic programming that keep people imprisoned and trapped in the world of cultural limitations and cultural norms. More on that another time. If you like these kind of topics where I take deep dives into the erotic realm, you might want to check out Tantra Studio on planetwaves.fm. Easy to find, planetwaves.fm. And then look, I usually keep it as one of the very top programs. The website's easy to use. Okay, so as for our particular moment, we have another liaison between a goddess figure, the moon in Taurus, and an outer planet, Uranus in Taurus. So that's that conjunction, as of the moment I'm speaking, is about 10 hours away, looking like 12, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, about 3 a.m. Eastern time, using an approximate count of the moon 2 hours per degree. We will have that connection between them. So it's brewing up now. Moon's got a wide orb. Uranus has got a wide orb. They're in Taurus. So that is vibrating. Before the moon gets to the conjunction to Uranus, though, it makes a square to Saturn. So that could be some of the heaviness and recalcitrance or a sense of feeling emotionally trapped in the air at the moment. That conjunction is going to be about 2 hours ahead of the conjunction square to Saturn, 2 hours ahead of the conjunction to Uranus. So first there's the square to Saturn. That's like the heavy part. And then there's this sudden sensation of release, transformation, liberation, revolt, it's the perfect combination. The upshot of the deal is, though, that Saturn and Uranus are in a square, and that square is about to make its third pass. It's stretched out through the entire year, so that's a defining feature of 2021, a perfect one. Look up a couple of dictionary definitions of Saturn square Uranus. It is frustrating. There's revolutionary activity afoot on one level. There's authoritarian activity afoot on another level. They both seem to have incarnated in the same set of characters. And there's generally tension in the air, but there is something happens. And while this conjunction has been exact two previous times, the moon moving through it, well, for the last time, a square rather, excuse me, a little tired. The square has been exact several times, twice before, the third time on Christmas Eve, though the moon is now moving through the exact applying square for the last time. So this is a special event tonight and is, I would say, an encouraging factor in that it's like, okay, do your best, keep moving, work this out rather than give up. Squares are action oriented. They tend to start on the inside and bring things to the outside. And so it's important that you work the energy of the square and the seeming contradiction of the square. See, that's the thing with squares, is they can present a sense of a contradiction, but if you work the Saturn part, the structure, the discipline part, then you work the Uranus part, the liberation, the freedom part, the let go of what you know and think for sure, and then go back to Saturn, and then go back to Uranus. You eventually work the square into a building block for action. Another meaningful event going on right now is that Mars has entered Sagittarius and is currently sitting on the dragon's tail. The south node of the moon is at the same degree of Sagittarius. South node of the moon is moving retrograde. That is what the moon's nodes do. Overall, their direction is retrograde. As mentioned many times, we've now completed the cycle of Gemini-Sagittarius eclipses, though the moon and the south node are having this one last hurrah, and it is happening on the south node. So there's a lot of pent-up, very fiery energy. And this energy wants to move, and it wants to do something. It is a sad fact of our times that people are being made to distrust one another physically, being made to distrust one another socially, that families are being divided, friendships are being divided, people who would never get an injection in their entire life are suddenly finding out that their lover or their girlfriend or girlfriends plural or boyfriend or boyfriends plural are getting this thing, and this is creating consternation and separation in relationships, and basically we are living in one gigantic separation fest, and this is never friendly to social, flirtatious, creative, sexual experiences, unless, you know, we're doing like love in the time of cholera, which is basically what we are doing, and people are being pushed underground. At least there is a chance that they might meet underground. So beware, this super hot, fiery energy is alive and extant right now in the form of the moon. Mars. Done with the moon. Mars conjunct the south node. Now, conjunct the north node, it is interesting that Ceres, I've mentioned her a couple of times, is the mother of Persephone. She is exactly conjunct the north node. So there is there is an opposition between the north and the south nodes with a planet exactly on the south node and another planet exactly on the north node. Ceres, very important asteroid, the first asteroid ever discovered in 1801. It's so large, it contains one-third the mass of the total asteroid belt. We should treat it like a full-on planet. And so there is a Mars-Ceres opposition. So this is emotionally tense. It's very immediate. Mars is only 7 arc minutes, as I'm speaking, out of opposition. And so this is a level of mental and emotional disturbance, with Ceres representing the emotional realm, but Gemini representing the mental realm. So there's that tension going on right now as we speak, with the moon applying to the Saturn-Uranus square and a bunch of other things going on, such as Venus stationing retrograde conjunct Pluto. So the overall direction of movement is to go deeper. You would not know that if you were looking at the world where the overall direction of movement is to go shallow, go superficial. When all else fails, dumb it down or sprinkle some sugar on it. We are actually being called to go deeper, as evidenced by these three major aspects happening at the same time. Venus conjunct Pluto, the moon conjunct Uranus and square Saturn. That's a very immediate thing, in effect only for today and tomorrow, and then Mars opposite Ceres. So this is a time of deep astrology calling for contemplation, deep times we're living in calling for contemplation, people being compelled and forced left and right to do the one thing the most opposite to my astrological teachings, which is to make the decisions that are in accord with your values. This is, I spent 25 years of my life counseling clients and giving talks and presentations and start podcasts and radio shows and interviews and horoscopes, 2,000 horoscope columns, all of them on the same basic theme. Get a grip, make the decisions that are relevant to you. Do what is right for you, and do what is right for the people around you. And you know that something is right if it doesn't hurt anyone. This is straight out of A Course in Miracles. When is it safe to take action? When is it safe to intervene? When you're certain you will do no harm to yourself or anyone else in the process. If there is even a risk of serious harm, you do not take action. This is to say, according to A Course in Miracles. So we're being put in this position now where people think they have to take action that's going to hurt someone, and they're being persuaded into doing so by a kind of a death threat. And this has troubled me throughout the past 2 years. I've said this many times in both my spiritual coverage and my technical scientific coverage, is to beware of the death threat and to beware of any situation where a physical illness is conflated with a moral failing. Seeing this all the time now, with a physical, an alleged physical illness being conflated with some form of a moral failing. So be careful with that. A lot of old tricks are being played on us. Those of us who study old tricks and have our noses in medieval books and Hellenistic astrology books and have studied the tradition of esoteric teaching and healing have a little bit, or maybe potentially have a little bit better grip. This whole gung-ho thing, though, is something we really need to be looking for. Liberal democratic republics do not need to die of the common cold. This is the time of year, if you still care about what I think after I said all of that, that I'm preparing the annual readings for 2022. These readings are called Tune In. They're 1 hour readings. They are going to be beautiful. I'm well underway on doing these. I've promised them for New Year's Eve. I'm planning to have them done before New Year's Eve. If you go to any page on Planet Waves FM, like the monthly horoscopes or even the Starcast page, you'll see our beautiful branding artwork, the radio dial with the galactic center in the middle of it, surrounded by galaxies from the deep field Hubble, the Hubble deep field image where they went into one, the equivalent of like a millimeter of space, and found some of the, just randomly, and found some of the oldest galaxies in the known universe. That's what that graphic is about. Lots of preview video at planetwaves.tv. That is a shortcut to our YouTube page. Easily linked other ways, but planetwaves.tv. All right, thanks for listening, liking, and subscribing. Lots of love, and bye for now.